Welcome to Screen Space 15, an interview with Justin Lewis on copyleft, digital pirates, and content creation with remixing. Welcome to Screen Space, your podcast about creating usable, accessible, effective, and efficient web, blog, and digital media design for the everyday and non-expert designer. This is episode 15 of Screen Space, an interview with Justin Lewis on copyleft, digital pirates, and content creation with remixing. I am your host, Dr. Jennifer L. Bowie. I teach and conduct research in areas related to digital media, web, and blog design. Before we move into the interview, welcome to my new listeners from Oldenburg, Germany, Pelotes, Brazil, and Manila, Philippines. Enjoy, design well, and let me know if there's anything you would like me to cover. In this episode, we hear from Justin Lewis on copyleft, digital pirates, and content creation with remixing. Justin is at Syracuse University working on his PhD in the Composition and Cultural Rhetoric program. Now let's hear what Justin has to say about copyleft, digital pirates, and content creation with remixing. I am here today with Justin Lewis, who is presenting, correct me if your title has changed, Bitter Coffee, Negotiating the Limits of Copyleft Discourse and Digital Pirate Counterpublics. And he's going to talk today about his presentation, and I'm going to interview him a little bit about it. So, Justin, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure, yeah. I just finished my first year of coursework at Syracuse University in the Composition and Cultural Rhetoric program. We are a standalone writing department, so most of our focus is on writing and rhetoric specifically. I'm from Tennessee, and I now live in New York, and it's cold. but winter just got over. I mean, we had snow on Mother's Day. But, you know, it's getting warmer, and I hope to be able to get out and see the Adirondacks and do something besides shovel snow.
Yeah, they're beautiful. Okay, first, can you explain copyleft to my listeners? What is copyleft?
Yeah, copyleft is an attribution that, as a creator of any sort of content, you can basically say that your media can be appropriated in any way outside of your own control. Now, there are multiple different kinds of copyleft. I mean, I tend to sort of categorize a lot of the Creative Commons attributions under at least a somewhat copyleft ideology. Mm-hmm. So, and there are multiple different kinds of Creative Commons attributions. There's the, you know, there's share alike, there is share but don't modify, there is share and do anything you want with it, you can cut it up, you can do anything, you know, to create new content. So copyleft is just a way for, as an artist, to remove some of your own control over the products that you're producing, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, great. Why don't you, if you don't mind, present an overview of your presentation. What will you be talking about?
Okay. So in my presentation, I'm kind of looking at how the peer-to-peer conversation has taken place over the past maybe 10 years in the broader sort of law, legal domain, but also in rhetoric and composition. And I think oftentimes, like John Logie's work and Jessica Raymond's work, talks about the rhetoric of intellectual property. It talks about the ways that the peer-to-peer file-sharing debates have been framed, and they're typically framed using metaphors, and those metaphors are usually generated by the content industries that are producing and distributing most of the media. So I'm interested in looking at pirates specifically, the individuals that are participating in the act of piracy, and questioning what are their justifications. Why are they doing this? Is it simple theft? Because that's usually the way it's constructed by the culture industry. So if we zoom in and we look specifically at the people that are doing it, we tend to get a far more complex story. And the motivations that drive individuals to participate in piracy are typically a lot different than the thievery that is usually put forth by, you know, not only content industries, but also their representative organizations like the RIAA, MPAA, those individuals. So I'm going to look at that. I'm looking at individuals, their responses to the, in multiple forum threads, they've been sort of asked, you know, why do you pirate? And individuals offer a lot of justifications. I mean, one of them is just a straight anti-corporatism. You know, I want to screw the record labels because they're not giving anybody any money. They're just keeping everything, right? So some of it is just a really agonistic rejection of that authority that the culture industry tends to have. Some individuals are genuine copy leftists. They want to spread all information. They believe that, similar to how it was laid out in the Constitution a long time ago, 7-year provision on copyright when it came out, in 1789.
Right.
And of course, it's been extended and extended, and corporate authors now hold a 75-year in addition to the author themselves. So, copyright is just absolutely, it's about 17 times as large as it was. Not 17 times, but about at least 10 times longer than it was originally. So some of these individuals are really want to spread information to generate new innovations, to generate new content, and to sort of foster creativity. And then the third sort of group that I find as I look at these different responses is individuals that are unhappy with the distribution method that's currently in place, the mechanisms for distributing content. So these individuals usually push against ideas like DRM. They don't want to download information from iTunes because whenever they transfer their music, iTunes then owns the license to it. They can only transfer to a couple different machines. And so because of that ownership on the part of a corporation as opposed to the artist, they reject it, and so they take up DRM-free information, and they usually find those via pirate sites. But in addition to that sort of inquiry, like how are pirates justifying what they're doing, I'm also looking at how these pirate spaces, private BitTorrent spaces, typically function more on a community-based level. So it looks a lot more like a Facebook. There are profiles, there are friend pages, there is archival curation, there's a lot of work in folksonomies, taggings, different ways to develop schematics and hierarchies to contain all of this information and to really curate an archive. And then finally, I also look at what are the motivations for all of that work? Why do individuals spend all of this time doing it? And I tend to go back to a social capital sort of argument. I believe that a lot of these individuals are accruing a social capital based on these gift economies. And finally, I look at the discourse that is prevailing, and the technological discourse that tends to prevail in these spaces, and how that provides barriers to access from individuals from that aren't familiar with this really technologically heavy, very, very specialized way of knowing. So I guess that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Okay, great. It sounds fascinating. So what takeaways do you see from this presentation for the everyday web blog and digital media designer?
I think that we're seeing a shift, or at least a shift might be a bit of a optimistic term. I think that oftentimes with artists nowadays, we're seeing a reappropriation of information. I know Seas this past year was the remix, right? This was the sort of framing focus for the conference. I think individuals that create now are bricoleurs. They're something of assemblers, right? And so whenever you're creating content, oftentimes you're appropriating things from a lot of different places to create new meaning out of already existing artifacts. This is most commonly seen in the remix, right? Someone like Girl Talk. But if you're producing information, and if the medium is the message, and exposure is going to bring more sort of, recognition of your work, then you should probably consider maybe allowing other individuals to take up your work and reappropriate it in different ways, and maybe even give attribution to you. It doesn't have to be a strict, full, I'm giving it completely away. They could recognize your own work in it, but allow your work to be taken up by other individuals to produce new things. And in that production of new things, your own ethos is probably going to be enhanced. So I think it's a way to gain exposure, especially for individuals that are maybe not able to tap into some of the more powerful networks of media dissemination that are pretty difficult to get into oftentimes. So I think that would probably be the most useful thing.
How would you recommend they go about getting their content out there?
The first step, I think, would be if you're running a blog, or if you're running a blog would probably be the best example, would be to there are small plugins, WordPress has it, Blogger has it, but to attribute your work in some sort of a Creative Commons way. That tag, the badge will be displayed on your page. People will know that they can use your information and appropriate it in different ways. You can do the different sort of licensing schemes there. You can say full take whatever you want. You can say, I'd like you to take it, but also recognize what I have done. Or you can say, I'd like you to take it, and you're not allowed to change it, but you can incorporate it into what you're doing. So if you attach that badge to your blog, individuals will be far more ready to take up your information without the fear of a litigation coming forward. So that would be one way, I think, the first step to be able to really encourage that sort of reuse of your material. There are also a lot of plugins, especially for blogs. I know that I'm trying to think. There's a video plugin that I find it really interesting. There's a video plugin that you can use on your blog. So if you're posting videos, individuals can not only download those videos in like an FLV format. They can actually start to cut, remix, and post responses on your own blog, right? So there are different plugins and tools out there to facilitate the sharing of information. Obviously, being connected to social networks in any way, shape, or form is probably. That goes without saying. I would also say, if you're a film artist or a music artist or even a print artist, if you're doing some sort of computer generated art, stuff like that, to consider not only copylefting that information or Creative Commons attribution that information on your blog, but also posting it in places where people can pick it up and attributing yourself. So that might mean posting it in piracy communities. It might mean posting it on places on the web where it can be downloaded for free. But, exposure, especially if you're just getting started, is really important. So posting that stuff, just canvas everything, that you can find a place that there are individuals that are taking up media in different ways. If you can get your media on there, do it.
Great. Okay, the next question, you might see overlap here, so if you do, we can just skip over it. But what three tips would you give everyday web, blog, and digital media designers who may be creating their own content and who are using other people's content?
First, I would say, despite my particular position on copyright and its problematics, I would make sure that you have clearance to use what you're using. It's extraordinarily easy to be called into court on an implication where you've taken somebody's content, and DMCA, the DMCA Act is really big, and it covers a lot of things. So make sure you're being very careful with the material that you're doing first.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Second, I would visit the Creative Commons website and see what kind of attribution you might be interested in giving to your work. Lawrence Lessig's been pretty fundamental, a seminal sort of figure in that particular movement. And so on Creative Commons, on the website creativecommons.org, you're going to be able to find information on all the different attributions. I think there's five. There might be six. So go there and see how you want people to take up your work, if they're going to take it up, and decide for yourself which attribution you'd like to give it. I think that's a really important step. Third, I think to facilitate, it's one thing to say, I'm going to put my content out there and I'm going to let people take it up, and I have this really originary, incredible artifact that I've created from scratch. But at the same time, I think it's really valuable to also practice the remix. If you are creating digital materials, you need to get out there and also appropriate other people's stuff and see what kind of new content you can generate out of combining your own originality with some other folks' originality to generate even more originality and creativity. So I think it's important to set yourself up in a way to let people do that, but it's also really important to play with that and remix yourself and see where you can go and what sort of material you can create and be a part of this this system of reciprocity.
Okay, great, thanks. Do you have any resources that you would suggest for my audience in regards to this, besides you just gave us a bunch in those last two answers?
Archive.org, some of y'all probably are familiar with these things, but archive.org is run also by Creative Commons and the Electronic Frontier Foundation. It's a huge collection of artifacts that have either been copylefted or Creative Commons attribution or have simply fallen out of copyright. So you're going to find a lot of stuff there from the early 1900s, 1800s, if it's going to be a photograph. So I would, check out archive.org and see what sort of media that you can find there that you might want to use in your own work. I think that's a fantastic resource. You might also play around. You got to be careful. But you may want to play around on networks that you may not necessarily be all that familiar with, and go places that you're that may be outside of your comfort zone, especially in the way of copyright. But see what sort of conversations are happening there. I mean, you might be led to something that you didn't necessarily see before.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, thank you very much, Justin. Before we go, do you have any links, websites, emails, or other ways that you'd like my listeners to find you online?
Sure. You can find me at jlewis, L-E-W-I-S, 04, at syr.edu, or at justalewis on Twitter.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
And that concludes the interesting interview with Justin. Thanks, Justin, for sharing this with us. If you'd like to contact Justin, feel free to email him at jlewis04@syr.edu or check out his Twitter at justalewis. I'll provide these as links in the transcript, too, so you can get the information there. A note on the transcript, though, for this episode. The transcript for this podcast is limited, as I don't have time right now to transcribe the interviews. If any of you want to, I welcome your help doing so. I did provide a brief summary of the interview for my audience that will have difficulty with sound, but this is just a brief summary. That wraps up episode 15, an interview with Justin Lewis on Copyleft, Digital Pirates, and Content Creation with Remixing. Join me next week for the last of the four Computers and Writing interviews. In this interview, Sean Slattery will talk about information management techniques for writers. Very interesting stuff. If you have questions, comments, or thoughts on what you would like me to cover, please send me an email at jbowie@screenspace.org or check out the ScreenSpace blog, www.screenspace.org. You can also follow @screen_space on Twitter for hints, tips, advice, news, and information on designing websites, blogs, and other digital media texts. Also check out the blog for this transcript of this episode, complete with links, Justin's email and Twitter addresses, and resources. Have fun and design well. ScreenSpace is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives Works 3.0 United States license. So feel free to send a copy to your favorite digital pirate, but don't change the podcast. Do give me and ScreenSpace credit and don't make any money off of it. ScreenSpace's opening music today is African Dance by Yappa Ye at the Headroom Project. And the closing music is Survival by Beth Quist off of Shall We Dance. Both these selections are available from Magnatune.